22nd, time to drop another podcast. Good to have you here. It's Eric Chase, Demetrius Nicodemus. Our guy Floyd, a.k.a. Deja, is here with us today. Hi, Floyd.
Hello.
Good to have you here, buddy.
Thank you.
We got you out of the old West End Festival Parade.
You did. Thank you, saving my life.
I think that's on the docket for me later today. Not the parade, but the festival. It's a busy weekend. There's that. There's Maple in Maine, which I've never been to. And also Gladys Knight.
Are you excited for Gladys Knight?
No.
Because Summit Street is.
No. And then there's a festival at OLPH.
The last one.
What do you mean?
I think I saw in the news like this is going to be the last one.
Last one ever there?
Yeah.
You've been to those before, right?
Yeah. Yes, I have. And just because you attach like Our Lady of Perpetual Health? Yeah. Is that what it is? Help or health?
Yeah, help.
Help. Yeah. It's still a festival.
You okay?
Getting
an important text message?
Oh, yeah. This is nothing.
Okay.
I mean, God bless them. I understand, like I have clients, and I'm sorry to take this all off of.
No, you're fine.
I have clients, and some clients are needier than other clients. Like some call me every day, and it's about nothing. Like legit, even right now.
Is this stuff you were talking?
I'm getting text messages.
I see your
from
phone lighting up right
client.
Now. Like,
you know, God bless her heart, but. Man, it's Saturday.
Right.
Like, come on, give me a break.
Go see Gladys Knight.
Yeah. Dude, but...
Do you want to do this?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you sure? Because I don't want any of your clients going, I listen to you in the podcast. I hear you talk about me.
Oh, stop.
No. They don't know which one.
Yeah. Unless they're like, and if you feel that way, then reevaluate what you're doing. Like, you know if it's you.
Susan.
I don't know, like, what I want to start with first, because there's a bunch of stuff to get to. Should we do heavy stuff or light stuff first?
What?
Oh, that's deep. Let's go with heavy. D set the mood for that earlier. Let's
yeah, you did.
Didn't I?
Like, with your text messages, yeah. let's capitalize on that angst.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything we need to talk about with this Pusha T Drake nonsense?
I just figured out what a Pusha T was.
Right?
And I was like, what?
I'm still kind of in the dark about a Pusha T.
You can't trust a grown man who wears beads and braids.
That's what Drake said.
You can't. Just I'm with the Canadian.
What about Lil Yachty?
No, we can't trust that name anyway.
Yeah, I know. I just like saying it.
Is that the broccoli guy?
Yeah.
No.
My only thing from all of this back and forth all weekend, I guess it's been going on since like 2011 and Lil Wayne was involved, was I think Pusha T.
All right.
Yes.
Real quick. What's going on between said Pusha T?
His real name's Cameron, by the way.
And all right, because I'll prefer. All right, because this makes it sound more sensible if I go. What's going on between Cameron and Drake?
His real name's Aubrey.
Yeah. Oh, what's going on between Cameron and Aubrey? Wow. Wow, this sounds like a prep school fight.
There you go.
Like for
You're
real,
welcome.
Cameron, Aubrey, in the office. You two know your moms play squash together.
I think I can get this right. So when Pusha T, and remember last weekend I started the show with clips grinding because that was one of that was Pusha T and his brother Malice. Anyway,
Pusha T and Malice. His name Chad.
So Pusha T's dropped an album called Daytona. The last track on it was a shot at Drake, and they've been going back and forth here and there over years. It goes back to like Lil Wayne and not getting paid for beats and stuff like that. So Drake came back with a song, and then Pusha T killed him and outed him. The two biggest things were that he said Drake has a child named Adonis.
Oh, thank God.
I was like, no.
Thank God. He has not Adidas.
He has a child with a former porn star, Sophia Brousseau, and I think he said that Drake is paying for this kid, even though the paternity is still questionable, which is like, okay, you're paying for a child that might not be, it's better than a lot of men. Like, he's writing the lady check. He's actually not a deadbeat dad. And he also said that he was going to pimp this kid out, Adonis, because Drake now has a relationship with Adidas. He left Nike. And he's going to use that kid somehow to promote the sneaker line. And Pusha T wasn't all about that. And he also for this song, and I forget what Pusha T's song was, but he found a couple of pictures of Drake from 2007 where Drake was doing blackface.
I saw that.
And oh, I saw Drake had to drop a Notes app Instagram post saying, here's what was going on. This is what I was going through back then as a black actor trying to get work. And that's kind of where we sit now.
He still got shot in the Grassy. He has more street cred than any of us in this room.
And to your point earlier, before we started, look, I'm not ingrained in this culture. I don't need to worry about Drake's credibility within the hip hop community. He is a mega pop star, and I haven't listened to any of this stuff. I'm so behind on music. There's a Kanye album out now too, and he's just straight weird. If it sounds good, I like it.
Mm.
And then if I find out that the words are really abhorrent or questionable,
yeah,
then it's like, oh, okay, never mind. But if it sounds good, I like it.
I feel
it that
way about DMX. I'm like, damn, D. Like, you are obviously homophobic with all the lyrics that you're saying.
Right.
So that's where
we are with those.
As the gay guy at the table, mm-hmm. when Up In Here starts,
I don't care.
I throw my gayness out the window.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, you're like, damn.
I can
like,
be straight for 4 minutes and 52 seconds.
Anything it's to cool. a good beat.
Exactly.
Yep. And I don't even know if any of these songs are any good.
But like, everyone's involved. Like, everyone. Like, there's no social media outlet where like someone's not talking about the.
But it's been a good week on the internet. I mean, every week is usually a good week,
mm-hmm.
but you have this back and forth. You had the second thing mm-hmm. we're going to talk about, which I'll come back to, and then you had the end of the finals game the other night, and all the fun memes that came from LeBron screaming at J.R. Smith. So let's start with the second one that was in the middle of the week, and it's almost like I almost thought like Pusha T and Drake kept this going because Roseanne was stealing their internet thunder. You're like, bro, we got to keep this going. Yeah. We got albums to sell. So can you? I posted a good article on Facebook the other day that explains it. But from both of your experiences, very mm-hmm. personal experiences, can you explain why you cannot make that joke, D?
Are we talking about the Drake thing?
No, the Roseanne.
That is not a joke, bro.
Right.
Like, legit. Honestly.
Historically.
Like, there are things that you don't do. Like, you don't put Jews next to ovens. You don't do those kind of things. That's fucking culturally insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fucking compare black people to monkeys. Like, for real, she's been in this game long enough. She's been, you know, it's so crazy that, like, when you're finally outed as who you really are, and this isn't the first time she's said fucking ridiculous shit. This is not the first time Roseanne has said something that has been so weird. But the worst part about it is that she knew better.
She should know better.
Yeah, she knows
for
better.
For sure.
And, like, then put out and this thing wrapped up really quickly. I wanted her to retract the apology because based on like what you said mm-hmm. and her past behavior and what we know about her, it's disingenuous.
She was trying to save her job.
Right. Yeah. Just own
it. She wanted money.
Can you go back though? And the word that I read in the story that I posted mm-hmm. was it's a dehumanizing, poor, insensitive comparison. And I know you can't make that comparison or you can't say what she said, but can you go back to the historical reasons of why?
I mean, you got to keep in mind, like, it wasn't too long ago that black people were set up in fields to work for white people. And
that
also
was not work.
Right. True.
You make right. it sound like there were benefits.
No. Don't Kanye me. Don't do that right now. But no, you also got to keep in mind, I believe in France, people would pay to see black people. Like, we were put on display as monkeys in a zoo.
Treated as animals.
Yeah, you can't do, like, and then blame it on a sleeping pill.
See, I made this, and I mm-hmm. you're the comedian. You're the one with the background, because people were bringing up.
That wasn't a joke.
What about?
At all.
I mean, honestly. There's a difference between something that's funny and that unintentionally, you know, or critically makes you think about, like, something, but what she did was she compared somebody who historically throughout like literature, throughout art, back during the times of slavery, through the times of Reconstruction, have been portrayed as monkeys.
It's a slur.
And what it does is it helps you, and it helps people feel somehow okay with how they treat them, because they're not humans. They are animals from the jungle, and jungle animals are either meant to be put down or tamed. And that is how we have been portrayed throughout history, as dangerous, as feral. And so when you put those kind of comparisons out there, it takes everybody back to those times. And yes, it's vicious. It doesn't come from a place of being funny. It comes from a place of vitriol, a place of venom, and it's disgusting.
It's when I cranked out a podcast the other day, when this is all happening, we always focus when something like this arises with the N-word. That's slur one. It's the champion of all time of slurs, especially when it comes to blacks. This one, this comparison, is probably 1A, right? Don't say the N-word. Don't ever make this comparison. To your point, D, speaking broadly and kind of joking, you want to make jokes? Fine. Stay away from historically oppressed people, black people, and these things we've discussed, and stay out of Holocaust jokes.
Right.
Almost everything. You want to make Helen Keller jokes? Right. We're far enough removed where you can crack a Helen Keller joke.
How do you punish Helen Keller? Rearrange the furniture. Right. Boom. There you go.
It was an awful situation.
She's tasteless. Ugh.
I think
say what you feel.
Look, there's literally, I think I saw it on like a Bill Maher thing, and it was probably the most truest thing, and I hate saying it because Charlemagne the God said it. But sometimes he actually spits legit logic. There's a point where you can amass so much money that you can afford to be racist. You can afford,
that's true.
Like he said, she's going to be fine.
Right.
What? Just because she doesn't have the show anymore, doesn't mean she's not going to jump back into her Porsche and drive back to her mansion? No, she's just not making any more money. You know, she's fine. But the problem is with the time, or somehow the culture that we are living in today, because of, you know, what people felt about previous administrations, previous times, we are now living in a time where those people now feel emboldened to share their regular racism, the racism that they held inside for so long. So long.
They feel so comfortable now. Yeah,
you know, like, whispering it to their wives, like, honey, those fucking people. You know, whispering it. And now they live in a time where now they feel like they don't have to whisper it anymore.
You're right. And the person that won the election emboldened this behavior and encouraged it and made it almost socially acceptable. It gave people who usually would do it in quiet, it gave them excuses and ways to rationalize it in Facebook discussions. Right. To the other side, though, I wish everybody would chill out, because I don't know when she said it, but Samantha Bee, who already lost some sponsors, one that you might know, if she just would have stopped at feckless, she'd have been fine. Like, that's
the only... It's good to know that word has just as much impact coming from a lady's mouth as it does from a dude's.
Samantha Bee
was like, wow, that word is the equalizer. That word knocks everybody down to the same level.
Samantha Bee called Ivanka Trump a feckless cunt. And if she just would have stopped at feckless, she'd have been okay. So
I had to look up feckless. No lie. I was like, feckless. And then I was like, I hope I spell this right. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Did you?
Irresponsible. Because nobody just, you just don't have that word at the top of your mind.
Did you think feckless, that you had heard of?
Feckless is not a word that you have. Like, there's a thesaurus girl somewhere in your writing studio who went like this, irresponsible, bad person, blah, blah, blah. Ooh, feckless. And she couldn't find anything other than cunt. Like, for real. You, what, did you get sleepy after feckless? Is that, like you were just like, oh, man, I can't look up another word for vagina.
She could have
said feckless vagina.
Bitch.
Yeah.
Did you, when you first heard the word, when you had heard feckless, did you think, spelling bee's on? Let me go on.
You know what? You know what it is? Here it is. It's like, and I hate to say it, it's just like white people who hang around the hood too long and feel like they're entitled to say, you know, certain hood words. And, just because they're like, oh, my friends are black and blah, blah, blah. And so they feel like they can just spit these words. Samantha Bee was hanging around too many lesbians.
Yeah, she
got
was.
Too fucking comfortable. And she was like, wow, they throw this word around all the time. And then she was like, I'm going to try it, but I'm going to put feckless in front of it. And then people were like, first of all, they had to look up feckless, and so that it let cunt sink in, and they were like, fuck feckless.
With the Roseanne thing, people were also bringing up, who was the lady that was at the White House Correspondents' Dinner? Was that Michelle Wolf?
Michelle Wolf, yeah.
People were bringing her up, and I can't remember the details of her cracks.
Because she said she used that ashes of lies, of truth, to give herself the perfect smoky eye. I mean, some of it was funny. Most of it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, but
I have to agree. It was, like, the way she talks about it, it's what it is.
Was the Samantha Bee thing, did it air after the Roseanne tweet? I think so, right?
Yeah. It was like just this weekend. It was like Thursday.
Okay, because the Roseanne thing was like Monday into Tuesday.
Mm.
And so while we have emboldened people to be verbal and allowed with their racism and their hatred, the other side, our people, like, we know better than that. But it's becoming the word I'm looking for at the end of Batman Begins? It's all escalation. And he caused it. He caused it.
And he keeps it going, too.
Like, yes.
The best part of this is, look, we have now, like, and if you, in my opinion, it is, and if people don't really start paying attention to it, we have now taken racism, legit hate speech, and brought it down to the level of a word that just makes people uncomfortable. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
What? Because now we're just as outraged as somebody who uses the word cunt, as we are as somebody who compares a black person to a monkey. Now that outrage is somehow equal.
Yeah.
Because now, and I'll tell you this, in my opinion, from God, as God is my witness, I know which one packs more of a punch.
Mm-hmm.
I know which one is more dangerous than the other. And I guarantee you it doesn't end in UNT.
Yeah, you're right.
Hmm. Like, you cannot be as outraged at that as you are with somebody who compares a black person to an ape.
You know, the funny thing is, and call me out if I'm wrong here, the people who tried to rationalize what she said and that it was a joke and anything else, any other way they tried to justify it, they're arguably the ones that are less than human. Dude, they're the dumb ones.
Like, it's like they all come out the woodwork. Like,
because
you can't defend her. Like,
but see, here's the thing. When she came out, she spoke to each and every one of them. She was she was the epitome of a Trumpster, somebody who was just misunderstood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they loved the show because, oh, we don't hate Muslims and blah, blah, blah. So they embraced that. They were like, yes, she is everything that people think we aren't. You know, we're just misunderstood. But then when she started spitting out racism, then they were like, this, fuck, we're racist too. You know,
right.
Because you can't just take half of it. You got to own the whole thing.
Right, because you were there.
And then so now what do you do? You have to defend her.
This was my worst fear with him strengthening all of this. And like I said, I don't know what if Samantha Bee did it on purpose or what, but it's just escalation on both sides. It's creating such havoc and dividing everyone.
The president did not say a thing about the Roseanne tweet.
Right.
Not a fucking word.
Didn't he want an apology or something from ABC News?
No, he wanted it. He said, wow, you know, you fired her for saying mean things about this Obama administration person, but nobody's been fired for saying all the mean things that they said about me on ABC. So
it's such a man
basically baby. What he said was like, that was unfair. What you've done to her is the same thing that you have done to me. But as soon as Samantha Bee says the C word on cable, no less, on TBS, all 13 people who heard it, you know, and then that requires a response. That requires that the president of the United States chimes in with his opinion. I mean, honestly, that's the thing you hang your hat on.
Right. It's what he does.
And it's deflection. It's like, fuck the racism that's being said and done behind my back. Be upset about the people who use vulgar words.
It's not my worst fears come true. My worst fear was that he was going to dissolve Congress and really like turn into a dictator. And ooh, thankfully, that could never happen. Although I'm curious to see the fallout of him now tussling with Canada and tariffs. But
I'm being very quiet right now because I'm boiling right now.
As soon as the price of Bush goes up, watch his popularity fall. As soon as those are his people,
right?
His fuck that we drink good American fucking beer. We drink good fuck. We drive fucking Chevys. We fucking wear Levi's, and we have sex with healthy bitches who can survive the wilderness. That is what we fucking do. And if you got to charge them $3 more for a six pack, and gas is already almost what?
$3.
Almost $3. Man, they're only driving their trucks a half a block.
it's pretty laughable. On a lighter note, some local things. The bikes with the Metro Parks, and I guess they're going to fit into neighborhoods.
Is it the renting of the bikes?
Yeah.
Oh, they do that in big cities.
Yeah. And we have it here, and I know it's the Metro Parks who paid for these bikes, and I think all the bikes, when they get designed, will be neighborhood-centric with colors and logos and whatnot. Mm. Living downtown, I'm fine walking places. Can you guys explain to me the bike fascination?
I live downtown as well, and I'm okay with walking. But, I mean, people like to ride bikes. I mean, I don't know.
It's hipster. That's all it is. It's like, trendy. Ah! It is trendy. All the cool cities are doing it.
Yeah.
So Toledo's like, you know what? We need to do a bike rental program because it'll bring more of those young hipsters downtown. Because why? Not only do they live in a loft, but now they can say, you know, we rent bikes to get around downtown.
But it's
it just makes them feel better. And it's like having a Starbucks.
Which we're getting too. If it's just in the like to ride bikes in the Metro Parks, that's a great idea. But I don't. I mean, maybe today would be a great day to have one of these things, so I could ride my bike from downtown over to the Old West End Festival.
Oh,
but
perfect.
I just don't. Me thinking practical as I always do, I just don't see a whole lot of it. How do they function in bigger cities? Did you see them when you were in Philly?
There were a lot. There was actually a little, I guess you call it a bike kiosk, outside the art museum. Mm. Yeah.
No, right. Wow. Oh. Everybody have a satchel? Everybody who got off one had a satchel?
And
like those high water skinny pants?
I saw the most fanny packs in Philadelphia. Like legit leather.
They'll be back.
They're coming back.
The Rock, when you first started at WWE, like... those big leather satchels. I was like, oh, okay.
The other thing, they remember a couple of years ago when the city found money and there was something
like I do in my washing machine.
Right, yeah. Right.
Oh, look. I wonder where this came from.
Apparently,
probably me.
They found like another $900,000 to fix the trail, not next year, but Monday. Mm. So, because it's a nightmare, and all the potholes have mostly been filled, but it's supposed to be fixed starting on Monday. Oh, yeah. It will have like a brand new road. At least in a couple
how
of years.
How much of it?
904. Oh, how much money?
No, how much of the trail?
From the zoo to Glendale will be fixed. Mm-hmm. That's the first project. And here's the thing. They're going to work on it from 7 at night till 6 in the morning so that when you're slowed down in the middle of the day, no one's there, just know they work at night. Now, further north up the trail, this City Avenue is closed. That whole intersection is shut down.
It's a mess.
So, and they say by 2022, that part will all be finished and reconstructed.
Hmm.
So finally, we get that wish answered, or that wish.
Let's not talk about downtown construction.
It's an eyesore.
It's horrible.
And a nightmare.
It's awful.
Mm-hmm. But you think about it, this is like all over now, cities of this size. I just spoke to a friend of mine about Fort Wayne. You guys have gone lately?
Yeah.
I said, I read an article saying that they've got like a downtown renaissance. And she said, yeah, in some places, because most cities so you were in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Like Philadelphia and Detroit. Detroit has had a rebirth downtown. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia has had it now for like a couple of decades. I
said, where my friend lives right downtown, it's
cool.
Still under construction. I've been there. But it's amazing. Like, it's just, I don't know.
These cities are like...
Yeah, I love a big city vibe.
Big cities have done it. Columbus did it. But now the trickle down is like cities of our size. Here, right. Fort Wayne. These cities are like 200 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And the infrastructures are nearly as old in some cases. So it had to be done. Unfortunately, we're here to endure it.
We're well overdue.
Can you help me with a home problem?
What is the home problem? If it's electricity, yes. Plumbing, yes, but we have to shut down all the water and electricity to the entire building.
No,
it's the only way to make me feel safe.
Yeah, well, that's smart.
like people are like, don't you just shut down a breaker? I'm like, nope, the entire house goes down.
Yeah.
Dude, if I could clip the wire from the house, that runs to the...
there is... So, my bedroom is here. Home slice is here.
Mm-hmm.
Up on the roof, it sounds like they're in my bedroom. There is a bird's nest.
Oh.
Birds wake up very early in the morning. Now, they have been there the last couple of springs. Mm-hmm. They're there in the spring as the weather turns, and it's kind of like the sign of spring. That's why I trust the birds more than I trust Weekman and Vickers.
Yeah.
I love those guys, but the birds tell me things.
And that's crazy because the birds didn't go to school for that.
They're still there. Usually they're there like in April, but they're still there. And it sounds like there's, what do you call, like a squadron of birds? There's that many.
A flock.
It's lots of flocks.
It's a flock of seagulls. A murder of crows.
Oh.
A fuck sight of penguins. No.
I spoke to my landlord about this a couple of years ago, and she's like, you know, it would cost some money, and we'd probably have to.
And they just come back.
Yeah, so is there anything that I can do?
Buy a cat.
Live your best Disney princess life.
I know, maybe this is, you know, maybe...
Except the birds.
Yeah, maybe think of this as like some weird mystical way that you're rewarded with being awakened in the morning. Like...
Like but most they start people, chirping at like 3:30, though.
They do. just before dawn, which is in the 5 o'clock hour now, that I don't have to wake up that early anymore. It's the first time in my life I've ever wished that I could just randomly fire off a loud gun.
And where do these birds nest?
You've been in my bedroom?
No.
Lucky. What? Don't judge me.
the nest is on the roof right above my bedroom. And it's
on the roof.
It is. I haven't seen it, but it sounds, and I don't know if it's because of the brick wall in my bedroom, which isn't insulated. It sounds like they're in the bedroom.
Does it echo? Like,
yes.
Get rid of them.
Get a cat.
I don't know. You would have to. You'd have to get a cat, or is your roof pitched or flat?
What do you mean?
Like, is it at vaulted? An angle?
No, it's flat.
Or is it flat? So, do you have access to the roof?
With a ladder. A long ladder.
Like, there's no way you could go up through your building and get to the roof.
No. And what would I do? Kick it?
No, you could see where it is. I mean, and then, like, say if it's in something, then you could, like, put wire around it to keep it from coming back. Or, you know, you could spray something that would make them not want to return. There's a lot of things that you could do once you know exactly where they are.
That's a lot of man knowledge I'm learning. I'm gay. I don't know anything about this.
No, neither did I. I didn't
I know nothing about it.
I was just curious you would suggest for this little issue that
I have. The first thing I would do is find out exactly where they are. Like, if you don't know exactly where they are, the only thing you can do is bitch. That's it. You're like, wow, this noise is constantly waking me up. Every fucking summer, every spring, this happens.
Every morning.
Hey, so, did you go investigate, see where the sound's coming from? No. No, I just, like to be fucking irritated and bitch about it. If I found out where it was coming from, then I might be able to formulate options.
It's on the roof.
Where on the roof?
On the very edge. I can't see it. I know exactly where they are.
He knows it's there. That's all that matters.
I had a fight with Lindsay. Does that qualify as anything?
Wait a minute. Like, when you say fight, was it like, hey, I don't think you should use salt? And you went, why? And she said, well, because it retains water. And you went, well played. And then set the salt back down. Was that the argument?
She's finally taken issue with portion control that I have on her. Last Saturday, I was kind of out of sorts. And her and Cone wanted to come over. And we didn't have plans. So I just said, I called her up and I don't want you to come over tonight. I just want to have a sleep in my own bed and have a good night's sleep. I didn't sleep well the night before. And the message, there was no way to deliver that cleanly.
No, there wasn't. Like, actually, even I felt like Lindsay
actually said, what? Actually, there's plenty of ways.
How?
I've learned because it's very funny that you bring this up, because I did something that kind of mirrored what you did. You said, no, I don't want you to come over. You know, I want to sleep in my own bed. I want to finally get a good night's sleep. What she heard was, I don't sleep well when you're laying next to me, somebody that I care about. That's what she heard.
You essentially called her the bird's nest.
Well, you bother me. And tonight, I just kind of want to be. What you should have said was, hey, I'm not very good company tonight. Maybe you guys should stay at home. I just seem to be doing me right now, and that's just where I am. I'm not good company. That's it. Yeah. Sometimes she just wants to come over and hang out regardless of whether or not you have plans. Yeah. So when you said, hey, I want to sleep in my own bed alone, she was like, hey, bitch.
Did you text it to her?
Your very fucking presence in my life is fucking uncomfortable and makes me lose sleep. So just one day will you stay your lazy ass at home and fucking use your own shit so that I can enjoy what it was like once being by myself.
My messaging was off, and I was lazy in my delivery.
Yeah.
I was out of sorts, but she's also started this really intense school program, so that has elevated her
stress.
Mm-hmm. I'm not making any excuses. Uh-huh. I should have been more aware that she's been stressed.
Did this just go over the air?
No. It didn't get in there. I should have been more aware that she's been stressed out, and I needed to be more detailed in how I messaged it. Because here's the other trick. Here, you know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she came over to pick up her stuff because she had, and I gave her a kiss on the cheek, and she just turned, walked out.
Oh. Yeah.
So the next day, she's like, it. Hey, do you want me and Cohen to come over? I'm like, yeah, come on over and hang out. I was feeling better, and I thought things were okay. and then she did some studying, and Cohen and I played, and then I texted her later when she went home, and I said, I'm glad we got through this, and I'm sorry that I,
She was like, motherfucker, you think we're through
Just,
this.
When you did say that, when you called her, she totally took the phone away from her ear. Like, what?
Yeah.
She wasn't having it.
So
that's too funny. Good for you.
I said, I'm sorry. I'm glad we're through this. And she's like, we're not through.
I like her.
Yeah.
And she did translate for me. And she just used the word blame instead of the way you worded it. Mm-hmm. She said she felt like I was blaming her for me being the way I was. And I was like, that was not my intention. Mm-hmm. Now, we were into it and over it.
Uh-huh.
But it was an experience that I figured I'd share with you. Because I keep asking you. When did these fights happen?
You're like, I must be having a relationship so much better than the average human being. You know, the fact that I fear that I'm more discerning with the people I choose to spend my time with. makes my likelihood of having a very successful relationship 100% better than yours. Welcome to the fucking human race.
Right. So and I should know better, because when you are stressed, you don't have the ability to cope with the little things as much.
Yeah. Are you guys still fighting?
No, we're good.
Okay.
You know, it's very funny. My in-laws come over. They came over a few days ago. My wife cleans like nobody's business when her parents are coming over to the house. I said, and all I said was,
uh-oh.
And this is what I thought I was doing. I thought I was just blurting out an observation. And I said, hey, do you ever notice that you clean every time that your parents come over? What she heard was, you only clean when your parents come over.
Or why don't you clean more often?
Yeah. And she fucking turned and shit came out of her mouth. Her voice got deeper. She was like, get the fuck out. And I was like, I was just trying to say something. I wasn't saying anything to be mean. I don't know why you're going all this way. And she was like, you fucking don't understand. And I was like, you are right. Because it was not my intent. I just thought I was making a clever observation.
No. When's the last time you were in a relationship?
Oh, forever ago.
Somebody?
I'm so quiet on this. I'm like, I don't even know what a fight is like anymore.
Oh, I don't even know.
What
usually causes the fights or disagreements when you're with somebody?
I'm very much like D. I make an observation, and they're like, oh, really? You think so? I'm like, yeah, I think so. Why not?
Yeah.
And then what they heard was, and you're just like, no, I didn't mean that. And then like the more you push, the more they get... The demon voice comes out.
I think some people just are dyslexic on certain words. Like, you say observation, they hear accusation.
Or critique.
They hear critique, and then they hear shortcomings. Yeah. That's you're like, hey, like, can I just tell, what the fuck is wrong with how I'm doing? Right. Okay, all right, you do you.
Have you got to a fight with someone, and they just go, I knew this was going to happen. And you're like, what? You were just waiting on this the whole time?
Today my wife said to me, she goes, and we've been getting along great. For like a week. I mean, I thought everything, you know, we haven't had like a ridiculous fight or anything like that. I've just been cooking along. We've been doing our thing. I thought we were in a groove. This morning, my wife looks at me just like a sniper in Afghanistan and goes, don't think I forgot about what the fuck happened last night. And I was like this.
What happened?
I was like, spun me around like it caught me in the shoulder. I thought we were over this shit. And she just was like this. She was like, don't fucking forget. Don't think.
What
just
happened?
Like, it was like this whole revisiting of the whole junk email thing. I thought she was fucking happy. We were doing stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, this shit, she has thought about it. She's used her logical brain, and now we have moved past this. And, like, literally, bro, it was the craziest shit in the world. It's been, like, what?
Two weeks?
2 weeks. Okay. So 14 fucking days, which is what I think she estimates is the approximate time for a man to forget about some shit and move on and
she
think
was
that they're
for
okay.
The perfect time to unleash
yeah.
That.
And so 14 days to the fucking day, she went like this. Don't think that I forgot about that shit. And I went almost to the point where I was like, what shit?
Did your heart just drop?
I was like, man, what the fuck? This is like, if you were if she should interrogate terrorists.
She's my spirit
animal. That is how fucking good she is. Like, you'd walk in and you'd be like, Abdul. All right. I found some shit on your cell phone. You'd just like to fucking explain this shit to me. I mean, Abdul, I mean, honestly, who the fuck is this, and this? It is nobody. I do not know. What the fuck? You know, you go to one website, you make a mistake.
And she does a good stare, too.
Yeah.
And then, blink.
Yeah. And then she'd go like this. She'd yell at you for like 2.5 hours. And then you'd go like this. Okay. And then she'd uncuff you from the fucking chair. And then she'd bring you steak and shit. And you would eat and you would feel comfortable. She would bring you a flat screen. and you would maybe watch Golden Girls or some fucking cool
Cobra fucking, Kai.
Yeah, or some cool throwback 80s show that you think is new because right. your cable sucks where you're from. And then you'd be like, wow, I fucking really enjoy this. And then the next thing you know, she'd stab you in the fucking throat and go, don't you fucking think I forgot about all that shit I saw on your phone. And you'd be like, what the fuck? You would like, it would throw you off to the point where you would confess everything.
She'd be a great... great bargainer, negotiator, with yeah. like a sports yeah. general manager. Like, yeah. all right, LeBron, I remember that Tuesday night yeah. in Milwaukee uh-huh. in February yeah. when you had yeah. seven.
No, you know what she would do? She would be like this. It's a, she would yell at J.R. Smith, and then they'd be buddy buddy for two fucking weeks. She'd be like, hey, J.R., you know, fucking good. How are your family? Blah, blah, blah. Did you get that fucking present I sent over to your house? Okay, that's great. Blah, blah, blah. And then. 2 weeks later, JR would be sitting at practice, and she'd walk up to him, and she'd go, you know all that shit? All those fucking presents I got you? I did that in spite of that bull fucking shit you did 2 weeks ago. Don't think I forgot.
Stab him. Don't think I forgot. Then just walk away.
And then just walk away.
Just walk away.
Like, shake him to his core.
I don't know if it was when you were here, but I said on one of the podcasts that Lindsay doesn't... observations, doesn't cook, can't cook, clean, typical chores, like to keep the place going. Now, she lives with her parents, and I guess she does some of those things, but she heard that, and on Tuesday, so we're in the wake of
it. Oh, dude, I love this. There's nothing else in the world that can be better than this, because you're in a relationship that you throw fucking landmines into and called podcasts, because you say shit and then you post it and then it's just a matter of time before she listens. And
like, so when he was doing his list right now, I'm like,
yeah, like you've planted little IEDs in your relationship that you're just waiting to walk across and have explode. Like, this is hilarious.
I do have justification though, and I'm not trying to.
Ooh, she didn't hear that.
Hold on. And I know this is we've switched places now. Mm-hmm. I have these stories. You have horrible employee stories, mm-hmm. and corporate emails that you don't like dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So on Tuesday we're talking on the phone, and she brought that up, and I was like, motherfucker.
See,
motherfucker. And I said, you know, I'm thinking to myself, when we get off the phone. Maybe later on today, I'm going to send her a nice text message, and I appreciate it, and blah, blah. And I said, and thought, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm going to say it right now. I said, look, if those things actually meant anything to me, we would not be here right now.
God damn it. Ooh. I'm going to yell at you, and I'm going to yell at you in a way that makes you think that I love you and you should feel bad for feeling the fucking way you do. Absolutely. Maybe, well played.
Maybe it's because I was raised by a black mother. But when you said look, I was like, oh, Lord.
Right.
Like, as soon as you said look, yep. I said, oh, and, this cannot go any
to crystallize way. My point that she has some shortcomings.
Stop.
Last night, we're having dinner.
Oh, Lord.
She kindly brought over some alcohol, got the bottle opener out of... The bottle opener also doubles as a can opener. She asked me to open the beer because she was using the wrong end. Her domestic skills are lacking a little bit.
Really? I'm going to put this hand sanitizer on my hand because I feel dirty right now.
You judge her on the way she handles an opener.
Yes.
Okay.
Not judging, but it's a simple household item.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Lindsay, don't hurt him.
Look, Lindsay.
Lindsay, please.
I'm going to tell you right now. And it doesn't really matter what I say because I'm speaking directly to you. And I can just plead. I can't demand. I can only ask. And what I'm asking you to do is listen, not to be offended. Like, just let the words come in, put no emotion to them. Don't look for any kind of hidden meaning. He has no hidden meaning when he says things. He's like Spock, like the real life fucking Spock. just words come out of his mouth with no kind of tone or intent. It's just words that just, that's all. Okay.
Don't that's hurt all. Him, Lindsay. Don't.
All right. Continue.
Okay. That was it. We're good.
Oh.
We're good.
Are you sure? Yeah.
Positive.
All right.
I'm going to ask you this question in 3 more hours.
Wait till next Saturday. And he goes, so Lindsay heard the podcast and she might have focused on this one phrase that I might have uttered, which was shortcomings.
And look. You have my full support.
I can actually pinpoint exactly in the podcast where this is going
to
come up.
To your point, though, she doesn't take things. She doesn't have an attitude waiting for me to slip up.
Mm-hmm.
We take shots at each other. It's fine. I think, mostly.
Yeah.
Sure. This is it's like 4 months, 5 months. That's practically like 7 millennia.
I know. I mean, honestly, your relationships kind of run like, I don't know, goldfish.
Right. Damn. Right? Attention
like
span.
Carnival, like carnival hurt. Goldfish. Like,
oh,
you know,
not even legit.
They may, yeah, pet not store not goldfish. Pet store goldfish. I'm talking about that shit that throw was handed to you by a guy with like 2 teeth and one of them is super rotten and it's way in the back and you don't know how the fuck that thing is still hanging on and he hands it to you and you've just spent like $30 on it trying to win it on this fucking game. Yeah. That guy.
So this is practically like the length of an imperial dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing the rest of the weekend?
What am I doing the rest of the weekend?
Are you going to go to that festival tonight? Because I think we'll go.
The Old West End Festival?
Well, not that. Well, that's
oh, maybe the OLPH?
Yeah.
It's super, well, I guess not now. Because when I had, well, it might be because there's a fucking train there. But when Connor was home, that thing was super expensive.
Is it really?
Yeah, because you have, here's the thing. You can walk in for free. Eh, that's fine. Admission is free. Alcohol, you got to buy, blah, blah, blah. But those rides are expensive. Those rides are not, you got to buy tickets to get on the rides, and then the tickets, you have so many tickets to ride each ride.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so the next thing you know, you're like, well, fuck it. I might as well just get that all-inclusive bracelet.
Right.
And you're like, well, that's $25. And now you're like this. I'm staying until you ride $25 right. worth of rides. And I don't give a shit if it's the fucking Tilt-A-Whirl 80 fucking times. But I'm guaranteeing you we're getting my fucking money out of this bracelet.
We went to the pop-up carnival at the mall like a month or so ago, and Cohen had a blast, and we got him the bracelet. It was $20 well spent. And speaking of the Tilt-A-Whirl or the cups, so we didn't go on with him, but Cohen, so he's a little 5-year-old kid, looks like he's 3, followed this Indian family on. The dad and the daughter went on into the one tilty thing, the cup. He went in with them. Guy's waiting for anybody else to come on the ride. So the wife and the other child go. And there's the whole family and Cohen sitting in the one ride.
In the one cup.
In the one cup.
Hey, good for him.
That's awesome.
Good for him.
That's
look
a man
at
who
him
knows what he wants.
Building bridges and shit.
He's like, I'm getting on this like ride.
Like, honestly, and here's the thing. That picture is going to be talked about in that family forever. They're going to fuck it, and they're going to be like this. You know, mom, dad, who's the little white kid who's sitting in the middle of the teacups with us? And they're like, I don't know. He just got on. I mean, first of all, who knew? Like, look at you breaking barriers, finally doing what white people have been doing for years, adopting kids of color. You know, you finally went out on a limb and brought you a little white boy. And
he's way too welcoming to strangers. Like he will walk up to unmarked vans and go, you want to take me?
Dude, I don't need the candy. Just what? No, I'm telling you, bro, you're going to need more than duct tape. Is this your first time? Honestly, is this the first time you've abducted a child?
I'm just here to hear your feelings.
last Cohen story. So I watched him on Tuesday. Lindsay has school, and I took the opportunity to watch him and do stuff with him. Took him to get a haircut. We did Toys R Us. So Lindsay had left, and I was going to take the dogs out quickly, and then we were going to go about our day. Now, I guess his dad has been working on him with strangers and when to be safe and when you can be comfortable.
Wow, evidently he's working on all the wrong things.
And and what to do if you're ever left alone. You call 911. So I said, Cohen, I'm going to take the dogs for a quick walk. I'll be back shortly. Do you want to come with me or stay here? He said, I'll stay here. He said, I said, okay, well, you'll be alone. He said, okay, well, then I'll call 911. Put your shoes on.
You're coming.
You are going. You're coming with me to walk the dogs.
I'm all alone in this apartment. I'm 5 years old. My mommy's boyfriend decided he was going to walk his dogs. He told me to stay here. He said, don't answer the phone. And don't touch, especially don't touch his stash in the closet.
So the concept of time.
There's guns here.
The concept of time is something we have to work on.
That's funny.
When are you, Floyd, when are you doing more shows?
I
see all your pictures.
I know. I'm actually in Ferndale Pride tomorrow.
Pride Month,
it's
right?
It's Pride Month, yes. All the gays rejoice.
But our Pride doesn't happen until the 17th August. And 18th of next of August.
August, yep.
So we're in Ferndale.
I will be at Rosie's. It's a brunch place.
Okay.
And it's a lesbians dwell. It's a lesbian dwelling hole. Can I say that?
Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Lesbian dwelling hole?
No, as I said, my bad.
Samantha Bee could have said that.
You feckless dwelling hole.
Yeah.
You know when you say something like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Have you been to Pronto in Royal Oak?
I have.
Great salads.
Hey, I just got that.
It's one side like deli, salad, brunch, lunch spot. The other side, great gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
I know, it is a weird combination, but they set themselves up
for
that.
Is it a weird combination?
No.
You go get a tossed salad and then go get your groove on.
Yep.
And then go to the lesbian dwelling
hall. And then go dancing.
Do you ever do anything here? You always out of town.
No, I do stuff here. I work at George's. I'll be back in a few weeks.
Okay.
I'm everywhere in Pride Month. It's gross.
It's not gross.
I mean, nice. Not the gross.
I mean, honestly, remember when you
traveler.
Had to do this in secret?
No.
Like, right. Remember the times when people would beat you to death for just gathering in the same place? Remember those times when you would have to fake wife, sneak out of the house, and then congregate under a bridge with a bunch of other dudes in that same situation?
You know about this life all too well.
I'm just saying. I watch documentaries.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What other stuff is going on for Pride Month?
What'd you say? Sorry.
Well, since our Pride weekend is in August, what's happening this month?
There's a lot of stuff. I know we're for Equality Toledo. We're close to opening we did open the pantry.
Okay.
And then we have a Love Fest coming up in July 14th.
The Love Wall. So we're not. There's nothing really big for Pride Month here. It's
not
all
really.
We do Pride Summer,
but yeah, we do Pride Summer.
Pride Summer of Pride.
And if you go to Adam Street, it's like literally Pride every weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the Heathers is?
Yes,
the movie.
It's
yes.
also a Broadway musical too.
So there was a there was a kid, I forget their name, that I met at Harvey House.
Yes.
That was trying out for the Heathers. I think that's happening at the Valentine.
Oh, awesome.
And I don't know if they got the part, but I had no idea about this Heathers thing, and it's very violent.
Yes.
Very violent.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a plan for like a CW or Free Force
TV
show.
Reboot with all the
yeah
queer characters. Like,
and I don't think it's going to happen, but I saw that. I thought of that kid that I met.
Yeah.
But can you give me the quick plot of the Heathers for people that don't know?
Mean Girls.
Yeah.
There you go. But Mean Girls.
But Mean Girls like never brings up murder, violence, and
no,
anything
it's,
else.
Wasn't
like, the movie had Christian Slater, right?
Yes.
Winona Ryder.
That's who I can think of her name.
And Christian Slater starts killing all these girls.
Yeah.
like
and they plan
and making
to get,
it look like suicide.
And they plan
shit
to
like
get
that.
Him back, right?
Right. And then, yeah.
It's like Mean Girls, but the horror version of it.
It's like Saved by the Bell and steroids.
All right, good podcast today. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks for having me.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You got anything else?
What? I always get something else.
He has emails to reply
Hit
to.
Me.
Yeah.
Hit me.
No, I don't have anything else right now.
Okay.
I mean, besides to tell Floyd here that if somebody in his household is a State Farm client, then maybe he should look in into tying that policy to his own, which would save his punk ass some money.
He is a new renter.
Like a good neighbor.
I'm just saying. I don't know a lot of people who have like tons of extra money to throw around, but
I see what you're doing here.
You know, that's just me though.
Savvy investment.
I mean, honestly.
Protect what you have.
Maybe 60 extra bucks in your pocket a month. I don't know if anybody needs that.
I hate you.
That's your good neighbor, Demetrius Nicodemus. Goodbye.